Today is April 28th, the year 2000. I'm here at Ellis Island in the studio with Herta Josephine Carnival, who was born Herta Koch in Innsbruck, Austria. Mrs. Carnival came to the United States in 1947 when she was 26 years of age. She arrived here by airplane, but due to some confusion, Mrs. Carnival came to Ellis Island. At the time of this interview, she is 79 years of age, and this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service. Okay, if you could say, please, your name and your birthday.
Mm-hmm. Herta Josephine Carnival. I'm 79 years old. I was born the 29th of April, 1921.
And you say it's the Tyrol area,
yes,
of Austria,
yes,
that Innsbruck is in.
Yeah, in the Tyrol, Innsbruck, Tyrol.
Okay. And let's see. Now, did you live in the Innsbruck area up until
all my life, yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Since I was born until I came over here.
Okay. And just a little bit about your family background, your mother's name.
My mother was Anna Born Zehenter.
Could you spell that?
Zehenter. Z-E-H-N-E-N-T-E-R.
Okay.
Zehenter.
And your father, his name?
Josef Koch. Joseph.
Uh-huh. Now, were your mother and father's families from that area?
Yeah, Innsbruck, Austria. They were born there and stayed all their life until they passed away.
Wow. And did you know then your grandparents growing up?
Yes, yes. I knew my mother's parents and my father's parents.
Uh-huh. Do mm-hmm. you have any memories, particular memories, when you think about any of those grandparents?
Oh, they were very kind.
Uh-huh.
My mother's parents were rather poor. They were all railroad people on both sides, engineers of the railroad, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And my mother's side, they were very poor, but very kind, very kind. My dad's side, we had to address my grandpa, Sir, in German, you know, Mr., in Herr. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of wealthy. After he retired, he had the biggest newspaper store in Innsbruck.
Oh.
And I remember going there and pulling the little wagon. They let me pull just a little wooden wagon and go to the railroad station and pick the paper up with a grown-up. And I got to pull it back to the store.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything else about that newspaper store?
It was very interesting. You know, they had more than newspaper.
Like what else?
Books. Books and a gift shop to go with it.
Mm-hmm. And was this kind of connected with the railroad station?
No. That was when he retired, my grandpa. That was my father's father, my dad's father, mm-hmm. his father. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was kind of strict, would you say?
Yeah, very strict, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very. While on my mother's side, they were very kind and loving. And on my dad's side, well, my parents were very loving, but on my dad's side, it was kind of a different upbringing, you know.
Uh-huh.
You could not get really near them. I mean, they didn't have the love like my mother's parents had.
Wow.
Because I guess they had the money and they lived a different life.
Can you remember any experiences growing up with any of your grandparents that kind of stick in your mind, that give us kind of an idea of what they were like,
yeah,
or what you were like?
Oh, they were wonderful people. We got to go over there and stay overnight, and the grandparents, naturally, my mother had another sister. She worked in a jewelry store, and then she brought us candy when they came, and then the grown-ups would play bridge, and we had to go to bed. It was wonderful. They were good people.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had two brothers only.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and their names?
They were all railroad people, engine drivers, you know, locomotive drivers. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So was that usual that like a whole family would be working on the railroad?
Well, not really.
No.
Uh-huh. That was just a good job.
Yeah.
You really had to learn for it, you know, to make all the exams and everything. It was a very good job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a good pension after they got retired. And my father got retired when he was only 42 years old. He could not get up any higher. And by that time, his parents had a beautiful villa, you know, it's a beautiful home on the outskirts where Maria Theresia reigned in the castle, and the castle grounds were my playground.
Oh.
Because the parents passed away and my dad inherited the house, the villa, you know. Mm-hmm. And at that time I could run all over the park and underneath tunnels and waterfalls. It was really very, very nice and historical too. Now it's a museum.
Oh.
They call it Schloss Amras, Castle Amras.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Maria Theresia reigned in those days.
My mm-hmm. goodness, did you play there by yourself? Or
No, with my two brothers.
Uh-huh.
And we had neighbors, you know, and they went in there in the park, and there were a lot of lakes in there. We took the picnics and picked flowers at those days. They were only wild flowers, naturally. Now it's all groomed and, you know, you have to pay when you go in there now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it sounds like you had it at the best of times.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh.
Now your brothers, are they older or younger?
One was older and one is younger. One passed away 2 years ago. He was 82.
And what was his name?
Mm-hmm. Oswald Koch. And my other one is Erich Koch, and he's 10 months younger than I was because he was a preemie, you know, premature.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still alive. And now that my daughter helps me and Larry, you know, and the kids, I have three children. And I go home now every year to see my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I've been home now in 52 years, three times.
Do you enjoy going back?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Does it seem to be more meaningful going back now that you're older?
Well, it's still where I was born, you know what I mean? But America is my home, my sweet home, where I have the children, brought up the children and everything, you know?
Yeah.
So it's wonderful.
So when you think of yourself as American, Austrian, mm-hmm. how do you...
No, I'm a real American.
You're
now.
American.
I'm an American.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, love this land.
Nice.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Now, when my husband died, I was 54, and my children were all grown and married. And my two brothers wanted me to come back because they live in the same villa, you know, and it's three stories, and I would have one story by myself. But I would never consider going back there because, you know, this is my home and this is where I raised my family. I have 9 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. 11.
Congratulations.
And they love me and I love them.
Yeah.
Nice family.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so... do you have memories of the build-up to the war?
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah. Well, Hitler, you know, in Germany, they had all rations for 10 years. They built up for the war. And then the Austrians, Hitler came, and the Austrians were for Hitler. They really were for the dictator.
Yeah.
So he took over. And then we seen what happened.
Yeah.
Terrible. Then we got on rations and everything. It was we lived very poorly then. Before we were okay, but when he took over, and Austria wanted it, that he's taken over.
Uh-huh.
So that's what happened.
Did you have any army in your town before the Americans came in?
Pardon me?
Before the Americans came in to, yeah. Mm-hmm. to Innsbruck, mm-hmm. were there other army?
No, well, after the Americans came, then when they left and the French came, you know, and the Moroccans and, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, but the Americans came first. They freed us. They didn't bomb us or nothing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I was there when we got bombed and everything.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I had a chance to come over here. And I wanted to get away from my country. Because at the time I was married, is it all right to tell you?
Sure.
And my husband came home from the war. And we had the child. And he had a mistress. So I was young at the time, and I cried a lot, and my parents didn't want me to go, but it was no life, because he never seen his son and didn't have any interest anymore. Mm-hmm. So I met that American soldier, but we were still married, see? Mm-hmm. But he didn't live at home. So I had the opportunity, and I took that opportunity, but I could not come because I would have been American war bride with a child. And it took 2 years until the law came out that American war brides could come with the children.
Mm-hmm. I see. So how did you meet your husband, this husband?
We had a lake in a other little village, and my brother had a boat there. And we went up there with the picnic, you know, the swim. And we didn't know there were all those American soldiers because they just had little flags on for a swimming trunk and some had regular trunks on. We didn't know. So my husband came up. He was an American soldier. And he wanted our boat, you know, our little canoe or whatever it was. And I wouldn't give it to him, you know. So he took me by my, I had really long hair, by my hair, and really dunked me. Yeah, I just about drowned it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I was mad, you know. So I went back to my brother and sister-in-law, because they were married at the time too. And my little boy was with me too. And we had sandwiches. And they were just dark bread, you know, really terrible. And lemonade, real sour, you know, we didn't have nothing. And so that American soldier who pulled me down, my husband-to-be, came and wanted to eat with us. But we wouldn't let him, you know. So I don't know how, my brother and him talked. So my brother had a motorcycle, that's how we got up there, see. And so he found out, my future husband to be, who I was.
So now, your brother could speak English, or your husband could speak German?
None talked English. We just communicated. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So my future husband told my brother, I never knew that he would, if he could get aches, he would give us the gas for the motorcycle, because we didn't have much gas, you know. So he came down with the aches, and and then I was supposed to show him home, you know. And it's mountains and hills, and it was night by the time he left. So he wanted to take my hand. We were young, you know. And I wouldn't let him, but I let him in every tree there was, you know. And do you know, the next day, I took him at a long, long walk, you know, so he wouldn't find his way back. And the next day he came down on the shortcut, and he had some tobacco for my husband. But then I never talked to him. Just my brother was really buddy-buddy, you know, because they exchanged things for things, you know. Uh-huh. He brought my husband tobacco, because we couldn't get any, you know, for his pipe. And he brought my little boy chocolate. And he wanted to give me some nylons, but I didn't accept it. And then pretty soon we got acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But he was very nice. He came from a nice Catholic family, you know, and I was Catholic myself. And he was very nice, and he always told my folks that he wants to marry me.
Now, you couldn't speak with him either.
No. Uh-huh. Mm-mm, mm-mm.
What was that like, not being able to?
Well, we just made motions and looked at each other, I guess.
Wow.
He was very polite and nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly got off to a funny start, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Then I never thought he would send for me, you know. We just wrote each other, and he said, well, you know, there was that law. I couldn't come over there if I would, you know. And then it happened.
Mm.
After 2 years, after I met him.
Now, can you say anything about what the American soldiers were like in general? They came around during that time?
They were kind of bold and kind to the same time. I really didn't have nothing to do with them, you know what I mean? But because we lived in a village outside, way outside, but they did come and wanted sort of take over, you know, to take the radio and stuff, you know. But then my father and them, they just talked and they were nice about it. And they just didn't do nothing. They were good. Very good.
Can you make any kind of comparison between the American soldiers and the other soldiers?
Oh, golly, yes. Those the Austrians were all right, the soldiers, but the German were so really Prussian-like. Ignorant and demanding, very, very, yeah, very.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, did you know other girls that you were friendly with or knew?
Yeah, there were several Warbites coming over. Yeah, what they met over there. Mm-hmm.
Well, during the 2 years when he was here, right?
Yes.
When you were there,
yes.
Did you have did you see any of the other girls that were coming
no,
over?
No, mm-mm, mm-mm,
no,
nothing.
So when it got to be that you could come over, you were traveling yourself?
Yeah, my parents went with me to Vienna and to the airplane. Mm-hmm. And then I broke my parents' heart because my son was their everything, the grandchild, was the first grandchild. And there I was going away, you know. Mm-hmm. It was very hard on them. Mm-hmm. When they sent me the next picture in a month, my dad had lost 25 pounds grieving.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I was sort of spoiled. I was a daughter. Mm-hmm. And my other two brothers were married too, but they never had any children, never.
Hmm. What was your son's name? What is your son's
Klaus.
Name? Klaus. Klaus. Uh-huh. So were the grandparents around too at that point when you were leaving?
No, they were gone by then. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They were gone. Yeah. Oh, one grandfather, my mother's father, lived with us, and he had his leg amputated. And I still can see him looking out of the window. And then he would say, he's feeling his foot, the nurse from the stump. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah.
And he was very kind to us. That was on my mother's side.
Right, right, right. Well, that must have taken a lot of courage for you to leave.
Yeah, well, I had a future, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had a future. And I was heartbroken too, because I was just a young woman with a child, and my husband came home from the war and had that mistress and didn't want anything to do with me and live with her. And she on top of it, she was married. Mm-hmm. When her husband came home, my husband couldn't even marry her. She had to go back to her own husband. And then her husband was really cruel to her too, because she had my husband, you know. But then it didn't matter to me. I didn't look in her future.
No. Well, so
because I know I was going to have a good husband. after all, he waited for me for 2 years.
So did you feel, do you know how you felt about, like, was it more that you were going towards something? You weren't so much going away from something as going towards something else.
Well, I wanted to have my future with a husband and a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when I came here, it kind of changed a little.
Oh, really? Well, before here. You tell me that, tell mm-hmm. me, did you corresponded during these 2 years?
Yeah, oh, yes.
And mm-hmm. was there anything about the correspondence that you remember particularly about?
Well, he told me he wanted to make me and for my son a good life, and that we will have other children and, you know, and have a good life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that certainly appealed to you, I
guess.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. So then when you got here, how did he change?
Oh, you mean in Ellis Island?
No.
Oh, no, I didn't change. I wanted to do everything good to his parents and the family. I wanted to fit in, mm-hmm. and I fit in.
Oh, mm-hmm. uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So when you came, you left Austria by airplane.
Yes.
You got, what, probably to the Kennedy Airport, which was
called LaGuardia.
LaGuardia,
yeah.
Okay, you get mm-hmm. to LaGuardia Airport.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, they picked me up to come over here with the ferry to Ellis Island, the people here.
Yeah, and what was the explanation that they gave why you had to go?
There was no place for me to go. I didn't have no airplane tickets, no nothing. See, my husband was in Clovis, New Mexico, my fiancé. He was at a harvest on a farm. So he would make some money for the wedding and everything, you know. So his brother done everything. And he was late with sending the pictures of the airplane tickets from Denver.
I see. So you had the ticket just to get to New York.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a ticket to get to New
Mexico. I didn't.
So mm-hmm. they brought you here.
Yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that must have... Can you remember what you were thinking or feeling? I mean, that
well,
must have been...
When I came here, after the examination and everything, at that time they had all little wooden boots, you know, by the hundreds down there in the examining room, in the register room.
Uh-huh.
And then we got all our shots and was looked in the ears and in the hair and everything, you know. And we were healthy. Mm-hmm. But then when we, after 2-3 days, I found out there were a lot of English brides. And their fiancé sent for them, and they were married.
Oh.
The guys were married, the American soldiers were married.
Right.
So they all had to go back to England, and they didn't want to. And then so many had to go in quarantine. Some had tuberculosis, some people, and it kind of scared me. You know, what's going to happen to me, that my fiancé didn't send that I wasn't taken care of. It was a little scary.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, well, anything really goes wrong, I'm just going to go out there and drown myself in the ocean with my son.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go back to my own country, because it's a shame. It was, well, you know, you went as an American soldier to get married, and then you're going home, and then you're in your homeland, and then how would the people look at you? See? I had more pride, you know what I mean? I wanted to make my own life here.
Mm.
And I did.
Yes.
And I'm very proud. And I'm a good citizen.
Uh-huh. Well, you certainly had to go through some obstacles first,
well,
it sounds like.
I had my little boy with me, and he was everything to me, you know.
So,
and I didn't have no problem taking him from his dad, but he kept his name. I let him keep his name until my son was adopted here for my second husband.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, can you say anything about Ellis Island, anything more about how it looked or how you were treated?
Oh, very well. Very well, yes, very well. We were treated very well. And... we were in a big dormitory, you know, with a lot of people.
How many days?
And the cafeteria was very large, It was good food. Naturally, everything was different to us. And my little boy, except the, my son, really liked the jello. So in order to get a second portion for him, I offered to do the floors. On my knees, scrub, wasn't anything to me, you know.
In the dining room?
In the cafeteria. Yeah, that was the dining room. And they said I wouldn't have to do it, but I wanted to do it, so I did it.
So did your son get extra jello?
Oh, yeah. And he got spoiled by the immigrants and by the employees. Yeah.
So how many days were you here then?
Five. Then I didn't have no money to go to the airport. And I was picked up by a taxi. And the taxi driver was going to bring me to the airport. And he said, we are early. So he said he was going to show me the town, New York. And I wasn't really interested, you know, so many tunnels. I wasn't used to all that, you know, and all those tall buildings. And I wanted to get to Denver, you know. And I didn't really know I wasn't going to see my husband either. He was in the harvest in Clovis, New Mexico. So I didn't see him for a month. So I stayed with his folks. And there was a lot of, what you call it, the gates to go through where you would have to pay, like now. That was there too. And he never asked me for a dime. I didn't have nothing. Now, wasn't that something from a taxi driver? Maybe Ellis Island gave him the money. I don't know.
Did you have any connection with any, what do you call it, social...
Social workers?
Right.
No.
Or groups that
I didn't talk English or nothing.
Wow.
I know how to read and write, though.
Oh, you learned
Took
that
it in school?
School,
yes. But I couldn't pronounce nothing. Like table, I would say table. Knife, kniefe. Like my ABC.
Right.
Yeah.
Say it how it
well,
is.
I mean, I wasn't perfect in writing or in you know, but I took it in school.
Interesting.
And I took a couple of classes too, so I would learn English. But we didn't have no tourists over there. I couldn't talk it.
Yeah. So you mean you took a couple of classes while in those 2 years when
while I was over there.
So was there anything else you did during those 2 years to plan for being over here?
No, I really didn't know if it will come true. I didn't know, you know. But my husband to be kept on writing, you know.
Well, now, your husband-to-be being American, was he different to you in some ways than the other boys that you might have met?
Yeah, he was kind, and he was well-educated, too.
And
he loved my son. And we didn't have any children for 8 years. He wanted to build up a little bit, but he had three jobs and nothing mounted up to, you know, in those days.
So then somehow you were here for 5 days and then a ticket was sent for you to fly to Denver?
Yes. By his brother.
So somehow someone here must have contacted.
Yes, they did.
And then
not my husband, his brother, the family. The family, yeah. My husband made his brother in charge to do the things for me to come to Denver.
Why do you suppose he did that?
He was in Clovis, New Mexico.
Oh, because he was only there for a limited period of time, your husband?
No, he found work in Clovis, New Mexico. And Denver was his, that was his family where I was going to go.
I see. And did he expect that work would be over at some point?
Yeah, he came after a month and we got married.
I see.
Then we lived in a little trailer.
Wow.
And I was sort of spoiled, you know. There was the only daughter at home, I mean, a girl, you know. And we had a trailer, but there was no bathroom. And they had four sons. And the son-in-law from the war, just coming all home from the war. Well, they lived with them. That was 2 years later. But they were all home. And I just could never go with that to the bathroom because they had the... so many people sitting there, the father and four, five boys.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was kind of hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'd done all that work, and I know how to knit so good. I just knitted my fingers to the bones. Because his sister was already married, too, and the sons. And so the sons weren't all married, but they had girlfriends and all. And so, but I wanted to do so good, you know. Learned how to cook Italian. They're all Italians. See, Carnivale.
Uh-huh.
They took the E away, the teacher.
Oh.
Instead, Carnivale, they said carnival, more English.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know if your husband's mother and father immigrated
came from
to this
Italy?
Country?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Then perhaps they came through Ellis Island. Is that a possibility?
No, they didn't.
They came
no.
through another port.
Yes, they uh-huh. didn't. Because there was no difficulties, I guess. But they had to be examined, you know. But, I mean, they didn't come to Ellis Island, no.
I see, but they had come from Italy.
Yes, okay. Uh-huh.
So you had some...
Bonanza.
Where?
Bonanza.
Bonanza.
Province of Bonanza. Like Sicily, you know, that was Bonanza.
Bonanza. Mm-hmm. And so you actually, did you feel like you had some kind of a bond because they, too, had immigrated to this country?
No, not really, because, you know, I was sort of out and they were really old-fashioned, you know. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, I was young.
Yeah.
No, there was no bond there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But they were nice. And they didn't talk, Italian in front of their children, only when they were alone. So their children never learned Italian. The four sons and two daughters never learned Italian. Mm-hmm. And my own husband, which I doubt that wasn't right, would not let me talk. We raised three children. And he would, well, one was adopted, the first son. He's 58 years now, 58 years old. So he wouldn't let me talk German. I talk German, though I'm from Austria, they talk German. And so that was kind of bad because it would be educational. So I'm kind of, when my brother came and my children, his nieces and the nephew couldn't talk to him in German, that kind of bothered me a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, not being a good mother and teach the mother language, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my oldest son in high school, he took German. And he didn't have no accent. It came so easy to him. But then when he was 17, my husband said, well, you might as well enlist. And he enlisted and went to Kinslow, you know. And he was there 4 years and in the Air Force. And then when he came home, well, we couldn't talk German anymore. When he was home in high school, we talked German together. Then he couldn't talk it anymore. He forgot. Mm-hmm. Oh, he knows a little bit yet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he can talk it. But I talk it fluently and I write fluently. I keep in touch, you know.
And so where do you get an opportunity to speak?
No, I don't. There's no German people up there.
Oh.
And my husband was very much against the German language. So I didn't have no German friends. There were some, and there were clubs and everything. But I couldn't join it or anything, you know what I mean? He was strict about it. Mm-hmm. He said, you're here in America, you learn the language, and you talk it, and you don't cook any German food. I knew sauerbraten and everything, and I was a good cook. No, because I was married before, you know, and my mother taught me how to cook.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have anything to do with it. It was okay by me, it was fine, because that way I learned fast.
Yeah.
And my son, he went right away to kindergarten in the year to come and picked it up just like that. and his name was Klaus. And when he went the first day to kindergarten, I wouldn't let go of him, you know, and he went up the steps and he was going in alone. And then when he came out, he said to me, "Don't call me Klausy anymore." He said, "It sounds like Klausy." See, he picked up so fast.
Mm-hmm. So
and then we called him Tex. He never was called Klaus anymore. Uh-huh. My husband was sort of a cowboy. And then we moved to Clovis, New Mexico with our little trailer. And we lived in the little pig yard, you know, with the trailer. There was the pig yard and there was a little water tank in there. And my husband dressed him up like a cowboy and he had to ride that pony, you know. The pony got him right in that water tank. Oh, and I cried because, you know, the water tank was sharp. And he said, "He's got to get Tef because he's Tex." So his name is Tex. No more Klaus, just in the papers. That's all. But then my husband adopted him right away. Didn't have the money for the lawyers, but we sure scrimped and I made every penny turn 10 times before I spent it.
Uh-huh. So your husband must have really wanted to adopt.
Oh, yes, Klaus. Yes. Yeah, he was very proud of him. And since my little boy didn't even know his dad, he was in the war, you know, and I didn't know him, you know, so it was okay. That was his only dad. I was married 8 years over there. It's a good life here.
Well, you left the bad life in many ways.
Yeah.
Just because
well,
war.
I had a good life with my parents when I was single.
So, could you say anything about like wartime? I mean, what was different about like a young woman like you were mm-hmm. at that time? Mm-hmm. You know, meeting soldiers or there's been a lot written about like when mm-hmm. it's wartime, everything
yeah,
is
yeah.
in a.
Well, I really didn't want to meet American soldiers, you know, but it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a feeling at the time of?
No, they loved the American soldiers.
Oh, the people.
Oh yes. Oh yes. They were very kind. Uh-huh. Very.
Uh-huh. And so they were.
And they liked to be over there.
They were well received.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
There was no bombing, no nothing. They freed us from the war. No bombing, no nothing. But there was bombing during the year. The English bombed us. I remember running to the bunker with my with the little stroller, you know. And I was always the last one to go. I was still eating when bombs were flying my blood. I said, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." He carried my Klaus, you know, he carried the child. And I was still eating there, like nothing was going on, you know. And then the people would jump. They were hysterical. When they got to the bumper on top, you know, on that mound of the hill, they were jumping right down on the people. There were a lot of them got killed, wow. Trampled to death.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
So.
And you seen the horses being dead and all that? Yeah, I seen war over there.
When you first came here, do you remember, like when you got to Denver or going to Denver, any things that were new and different that you had never encountered before?
Well, the food was altogether different and the life was altogether different. I cried when I broke a cup, you know. Mm-hmm. I cried because, you had to buy another one, you know, over there. Here. Not that I wanted to break it, but, you know, I wanted to keep everything together.
Mm-hmm. But over here it didn't matter that much.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and my first cake I made in the trailer with that butane stove, I put too much baking powder in it. And, you know, it was narrow in there. It was just a tiny little trailer in the backyard of my relatives. The dough was coming out. I didn't want to open the door, but finally it came out and they went out through the door and I cried. Oh, I cried. Uh-huh. I wanted to do so good, you know.
Now, was your husband's attitude about not speaking German and all that, was that because of
Germans
and the war?
Yes, yes.
If it had been another language, do you think he would have felt the same way?
Well, they were the enemies, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. And I had to become an American. I went to opportunity school.
Oh, what was that?
Oh,
like?
Yes. Well, I had to make my citizenship.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And I remembered there was a long bridge, and I wanted to save that dime to go home. So I walked. Oh, and then they would, they would say, well, come on in, I bring you home. I didn't know the people. And I went with them, with the guy. I didn't know any better because, the child stayed home. And then they set me straight, but I still walked.
Uh-huh.
They said, you catch the bus. That's why we're going to give you the quarter and more. It was only a dime at those days, but I never spent it. I just walked and minded my own business.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that was about a 6-mile walk.
Wow.
Going home and going and coming 12 uh-huh. miles.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I had time, it didn't matter. I wanted to keep every penny together to make ends meet.
Uh-huh. And so you were thrifty as a result of your experiences. So so then you went to this opportunity school, and it was through there that you then took the test?
Yes.
To become a citizen?
Yeah. No, not through them. I mean, I learned,
you
know.
What you needed.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All about the law. Mm-hmm. Knew everything, now I forgot.
I know, they have one of those tests here in the museum that citizens take.
I'm fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good. And did you work at all, or were you more or less taking care of your son? Did you work at all when you first came?
No, never did work. No, my husband supported us. He had 3 jobs. He didn't want me to work. No, never did work.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we moved up there, he gave up a good job to go up there. Then I had to go to work. But I was all right.
Uh-huh. Now, when you say went up there, where was that?
I was 20 years in Denver and now 30 years up in Red Feather Lakes, three hours away from Denver. He always wanted to be a cowboy, you know. So he went back to the farm life. But he was a really city-born child.
Yeah.
And his parents, they held it against him because we only made $100, $180 a month. You know, it wasn't, and where he worked in Denver, it was much better. But we were happy.
Uh-huh. You were happy to move up there too?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
We were happy.
And what is it called? Clover Lake?
Red Feather Lakes.
Oh, Red Feather
mm-hmm.
Lakes. Uh-huh.
It's only 2,000 people up there. And in the wintertime, less, because it's all retired people, and they go to Florida and Texas to the warmer climate. We call them the snowbirds.
Right.
And then they come back. Now they're coming back in the middle of May, the end of May, because it's still cold up there,
right.
9,000 feet high. Red Feather Lakes is situated higher than Innsbruck. Innsbruck is only 500 meters over sea level. And there I am, 9,000 feet in the mountain, and my brother just couldn't get over it. And you know, the thin air got to him.
Oh.
Yeah, so he couldn't come over anymore. And I didn't know how to rent oxygen at that time, you know, and we couldn't really afford it either, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he couldn't come over anymore. But now I'm going home.
Yeah. You have a trip planned?
Yeah, this October.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I can't go in the summertime or any other time because I live on a ranch and they are wealthy people and I'm on Social Security. And when my husband moved up there, he only got $180 a month and they took the last 5 years. So I only got a little bit over $400, $415, that's all I get. So I went to work for some rich people on the golf course,
mm-hmm.
and we made ends meet. We stopped eating meat And it's good. Was good for us. Mm-hmm. Well, he did get. I cooked meat for him, but I didn't. And by that time, the children were gone, so it didn't make any difference.
So now you had all your children in Denver when you lived in Denver.
Yeah, in Denver. Mm-hmm. Okay. And one son he worked up there until he got married.
Oh.
About 6 years, he was still with us up there, the youngest.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you say your children's names in the order of their birth? Mm-hmm.
Klaus Oswald, Carnival. Jody Ann Notch. I mean, that was her. Jody got married, but she was divorced. She married Larry. Jody Ann Morrison. And Fred. Frederick Carnival. That's the youngest.
I see. Mm-hmm. And he's the
only
one.
Three.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And they all live in Denver. I'm the only one who lives up in the mountains.
I see. But Frederick did live in the...
Yeah, with us for 6 years until he got married.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Wow. Well,
And the other two got married in Denver, Jody and Larry.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Jody and Tex, Klaus.
So, did you ever have any contact with other war brides after
no.
you got here?
No, never.
How about on the plane coming over? Were there war brides there that you were
no.
aware of?
No, no, there was nobody there.
Mm-mm. I see. Well, did
see? I came 2 years later.
Right, right. So, would you say you had a hard time because you were kind of alone in another
no.
culture?
No. No, I didn't have a hard time because I know I was going to make the best living here it could be because I know my fiancé's character and he still stayed in contact with me to bring me over here. So it worked out fine. But then we were married 38 years and then he had a heart attack and he was only 60 years old and I was 54. So that was kind of hard because we laughed all the time and sung together. And I noticed that after he was gone, I didn't laugh too much anymore, sing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then it picked up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had all my family and they come and see me over the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you work at all after he died?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I worked on the ranch there.
On the ranch.
Yeah, they have a guest house. The owners are very wealthy and they have a guest house. And I clean it and I get my rent fee.
No. Yeah. So are you
I pay my own gas and uh-huh. and gas and light, mm-hmm. electricity, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the heat. Yeah. But I get the rent fee and that means I don't think I could live on $415.
Mm-hmm.
Though I'm very, for myself, I don't spend much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I like to buy little things for the grandchildren, you know.
So how is your life now?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. The kids come over the weekend, this family or that family. I have enough room.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I live in a the cabin I live in it was a homestead, and it was 146 years old. It's just a rustic cabin, you know, with
nice.
Log.
Yeah.
And it's very comfortable in it. I got a microwave and a wash machine, and the kids got me in the dryer, and all the comfort of home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Two bedrooms, mm-hmm. And I keep it nice and neat. I'm
well,
proud of it. And now I live there 32 years. So the cabin is very old. It's a landmark. After 100 years, it becomes a landmark.
Wonderful.
It's in every history book.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
Well, gee, well, you've got a national treasure on your hands
yeah.
there. That you
and my husband couldn't say Hertha. My name is Hertha. When we were young. So he called me Sugar Babe. He said, you are my Sugar Babe. And nobody knows my other name up there. I just go by Sugar Babe.
Wow. I guess that's cowboy talk, huh?
I guess so. I guess he couldn't say howdy. He said, howdy, Holger Huber. He said, you're my sugar babe. Oh. And now that I'm old, I should be called sour babe.
I don't think so.
Thank you.
When you think back about coming here as a young woman, do you think that influenced your character, that it affected that transition with your son from one culture to a new mm-hmm. life, really? Mm-hmm. Do you think that made a difference on the person that you are, the person you became?
No, I'm so proud to be an American. I'm so proud to be an American. Mm. And so is my son, well, he was raised here, you know.
Yeah.
And he's got the second husband's name, so mm-hmm. that's kind of, so we're one big family.
Yeah. When you think about your life, can you think of sort of some of the biggest satisfactions that you've had over these years?
Well, that I have such wonderful children. In those days, there was no drug problem or nothing. And almost everybody stayed home, the mothers, and raised the children. And that's a big plus, mm-hmm. that I didn't have to go to work. I was with my children all the time.
Yeah.
My husband said, you lead the household and I bring the bacon home. And that's how it was mm-hmm. in those days. And I looked up to him. I always admired my husband. I really admired my husband.
What was it so much that you admired about him?
Because he had such a wonderful character.
Oh?
Yeah.
Like what? What kind of character did he have?
Well, there was only me in his mind and his family. And that meant so much to me. Yes. And I let him be the man, you know what I mean? And he was. That was wonderful. And I didn't have to go to work. And told him every day how much I appreciated him going to work every day and, you know, and support us. I mean, that was wonderful. And we were a good family and raised children and went to church and you know, and now I'm doing quite a bit volunteer work up there.
In what way?
Library and the church, cleaning the church and library and making chili supper for, you know, we have little organizations up there, you know, uh-huh. for the make benefit for the fire district and communities and things like that. So uh-huh. I'm pretty well known up there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you
Not
know.
That I'm going bragging myself now,
no, I'm sure.
But I want to do good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're known as a good citizen.
Oh, yeah, yes, I was Citizen of the Year.
Really?
Yeah, I got an honorable plaque.
Uh-huh.
And that day, that Sunday, the children was the 4th of July, all my family came up, which they only come up in one family. And I said to myself, why would they all come up to the same time, you know? And then we went over there, and there was fire right with the fire truck and everything. And then all the people got honored from the fire department and library and stuff. And we waited until they got their diploma. And finally I said to my nephew, I said, you know, I said, we've seen enough of that. Now let's go on, you know, with the children. There were helicopter rides and stuff and all kinds of stuff and coach rides and everything. And the children was getting kind of antsy, you know. And he said, no, you know, they're being honored. And we are here to, you know, they're being honored. And I was the last one. Oh. And I got the big plaque. And when they called my name, Sugar Babe, to come up there, I didn't know what to do. And I'm a good talker otherwise, you know. So they said, speech, you know. I knew what the plaque was for them and I heard it. And I kind of cried, but I was speechless. I said, that's one time I cannot speak, but I sure want to thank the whole village and everybody who voted for me, because they had to vote.
Mm-hmm.
The association, too.
Yeah. Well, you said the perfect thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't that
something to be honored that way? That's lovely.
And I'm an artist. And they have posters every year.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, I made the poster of the year for 2000. There's an old barn, and it's a landmark. And another artist told me, go into the contest. I said, well, there is no chance for me. I'm just an amateur. He says, go in and put in something historic of the building or something. And I knew what she meant. It was that Bartizan barn because I painted all the time, see? And I sent it in, and sure enough, I'm the poster of the month. And Memorial Day, they have the big doings up there, and those little, it's a little village, you know. Then I have to sign my
poster. Well, how long have you been painting?
Well, my son, my first son, when he was 12 years old, I'm with the fourth owner on this ranch. And with the first owner, he was only 12, and in the summertime, he rotated cattle. But my husband was making a living in Denver, but we were up there during the 3 months for him to work. And so there were old barn boards there. So I just started painting with the house paint where I fixed up the cabin. There were, I remember painting 2 candles. Then I had a little putty for the teardrops and a little blue for the candle, you know. And it sort of looked pretty.
Yeah.
And a friend of my husband came from Clovis, New Mexico. He was a doctor. He took it home on the airplane, the board, a barn board with the 2 candles on them. Then for a long while I couldn't paint because I'd done so much housework. You know, I worked on the golf course for a rich family, and then I had to work on the ranch for the guest house and everything, and watch children when they went riding or fishing, you know, so I didn't have time.
So how many years went by before you got back to it?
Well, I've just been painting the last 10 years. And I mostly paint on saw blades and stuff, but big saw blades. And they're so rusty, and I have to clean them myself.
I see.
Then they give a lot away for donations and benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can make a little money for the school and library, and I always donate.
So you.
And some I do sell.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. So you paint on these objects? You
mean, yeah. On shovels and I used to paint a lot on canvases, but. The canvases are high now, and I make my own wooden frames, see, when I paint on wood or something. And you can't put no wooden frame on a rustic frame on a canvas, you know. So I stopped painting on canvases.
Hmm.
And my kids don't want me to use the table saw anymore, but I do. It's a big table saw. See, I'm all alone on that ranch. There's nobody around except the horses.
Yeah.
My old cabin and the guest house and the big barn, very, very beautiful.
Oh, it sounds
they own a whole valley, the whole Lone Pine Valley, the Velti people.
Mm-hmm.
They are the owner of a big meat plant, Montfort,
mm-hmm.
And he just sold out, but he's the owner of the Rockies. You know, the ball game, the Rockies,
mm-hmm.
He's the owner. And so was the former owner. Okay. Is the owner too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like you're in a very nice setting.
Yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you can think of? We're near the end of the tape.
Yeah.
Anything maybe we didn't cover relative to your coming here and making a new life here and. Did you ever, by the way, see your mother and father again?
No. Never.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you really started anew.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I did. And it's a good life. It's a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Very good life.
And how about Ellis Island? Is there anything about this place that...
I liked it here.
Uh-huh.
Or for recreation, we could go out, and there was a little... It's all green grass now, but it was just all dirt. And the fence was about 9 feet high. And there were prisoners of war there. Well, we didn't know then. But they played soccer there. And Klaus, my my boy wanted to go and see him play, so we all went out. So all the young, there were a lot of the vampires, all went down and clapped, and you know, and they would look over, and well, I know I was going up mad, so I was went in earlier than they did, you know. They were kind of flirting.
The prisoners of war.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, the girls
the
too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, gee, that's interesting. Is there anything else you can remember about those prisoners of war who were here?
No, I don't, nothing. Mm-hmm. Not a darn thing.
Yeah.
They just told us they were prisoners of war. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, were they Germans, mostly?
Mostly, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, and how about...
But they had a good life.
Here?
Yes. They were good, taking good care of it until they got shipped out.
Uh-huh.
Very good taking care. But what really bothered me is when those English war brides, they couldn't stay. The fiancé sent for them, and they came. Some might have come on their own, I don't know, but they were married. Mm. It kind of scared me. And then the quarantines, when people got sick, scared me a little bit too.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what was happening to me.
Well, I'm delighted that it all worked out.
Yes,
for
it
you
did.
The way it did.
I love America.
And
my
I
home
think-
sweet home.
Well, I want to thank you. I've been speaking with Herta Carnival, who came here in 1947 when she was 26 years of age and is 79 on April 28th, the year 2000. And this is Janet Levine signing off, and I thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, Janet. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, well, I have too.